Good morning to you all. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to 1 Kings chapter 18. We've been doing a series relative to men who were called upon to take stands, to put themselves at personal risk in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to be honored and exalted, for God's people to be protected. And I wanted to share with you this morning the testimony of a man who's very little is shared in the scriptures about him, but he was a very important figure in a time of declension in the nation of Israel when Ahab was ruling. His personal governor assistant, Obadiah, is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 18, and this particular chapter is well known because it records for us what took place at Mount Carmel with Elijah praying to God, the soaking down of the altar with water and the fire that came down from heaven, and God showed himself mighty. And at the beginning of this particular chapter, we're told, "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house," and then this phrase, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." I hope we all understand, and I'm just gonna say this up front. If you possess a reference Bible, please understand that comments that are made are not inspired. All right? You do understand that. We have turf battles going on today in independent fundamental works over what Bible you're supposed to use. And if you say, "I remember one time I got into a situation I really didn't intend to, but I made a comment about a statement that was made by Schofield, and I said I didn't agree with it." And I got, it was like I had said something against God and the Apostle Paul, and I said, whoa, stop. Is his comments inspired? Well, no, but they're very, very, very helpful, and he's rarely wrong. And I said, well, even if man is rarely wrong, he still is wrong. You know, a broken clock is right twice a day. Does that mean it's infallible? Absolutely not. And Schofield makes a comment here I never have agreed with. Matter of fact, in my Bible, I'll show it to you, I've got it crossed out. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't like Schofield. I'm using a Schofield Bible. But he says in there, a believer out of touch with God. And he with that statement, he takes your mind, when I read about Obadiah, I'm reading about somebody that's out of touch with God. Now, let me just say this. There's a rule of hermeneutics, understanding interpretation of the Bible, that you don't take present knowledge that you have and go back and interpret the past of what they had. Okay? There is nothing in this passage that indicates anything other than Obadiah was a remnant believer who loved God. The Bible says he feared God greatly, and there were 100 prophets of God that he personally, at his own personal expense and at risk of being killed by Ahab, who was his direct, they were spending time every day with each other. He put them up in two different caves. He divided them into a group of 50. And the Bible tells us that he hid them and fed them with bread and water. He protected them from his boss. Now, the Bible goes on to tell about an exchange. He runs into Elijah, and Obadiah says, are you Elijah, the one that Ahab seeks out? He didn't even know him. And he had heard a lot about him. He didn't know him, and he asked Elijah a whole bunch of questions because Elijah says, "I want you to go tell Ahab I want to see him today." And Obadiah says, "Oh, wait a minute now. You know, the Holy Spirit of God may come along and swoop you off and carry you off, and I'll be told Ahab that you're going to meet with him today, and you won't show up, and I'll be dead." Now, is that a legitimate question? I think so. That's not being out of touch with God. He admits he's meeting Elijah for the very first time, and he's got some questions. He knows this is a man of God, and God's been protecting him. Ahab had not caught Elijah. Why? Because God was protecting him. And Elijah says, "Go back and tell Ahab I'm going to meet with him today." If I were Obadiah, I would have done the same thing. Now, are you going to be there? Is God going to take you away and I'm going to be up there and Ahab's going to look at me and said, "You lied to me, you're dead"? Okay? I think it's important, folks, to see the personal sacrifice that Obadiah made to protect God's men. Put them in caves, kept them hid, made sure every day that they had bread and water to drink. Remember, this is in a 3-year famine. Where are all the, what is the condition of the brooks and the streams at this time after 3 years of no rain? You think it was hard to find water? Absolutely. And yet, here's Obadiah every day. You find water, I've got to get it to the God's men that are there. This was not a believer out of touch with God. This was a man in touch with God. Just because he was working for Ahab does not mean that he was horrible, he should have quit. If that were the case, then Daniel did wrong. He should have found a way to get out. Nehemiah did wrong, working for the king. Right? Let's think about it. All of these individuals that served over the years, Joseph did wrong. He should have never been in the Egyptian government. You see, it doesn't hold water, does it? God put these individuals in those places of authority to take care of his people. And so let me just say this. Whatever position you hold in this world, whatever it might be, teacher in a Christian school, a business person that owns a business and operates in the community, you want to be used of God wherever you are. Whatever God's called you to do. Lord, I'll do whatever. Lord, there are 100 of your prophets, and Ahab's going to kill them if he gets them. Lord, would you help me to hide them and protect them? I'll make sure they have water. I'll make sure that they have bread. I'll take care of them. God raised him up. He knew where all the water sources were. As a matter of fact, isn't it interesting that we know this from verse 5? And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. In other words, Obadiah had been the one charged to know where the water was. Isn't that interesting? To take care of all of the animals and stuff that belonged to the king. Why would he be put? Because God wanted him to know so they'd have water for his men that would be in the cave. Isn't the providence of God a wonderful thing? It just, to me, is overwhelming of how God takes care. With all due respect to Schofield, this is not a believer that was out of touch with God. This was a believer that was in touch. And he was being used of God to protect the prophets. Yes, he had some questions for Elijah, but never does Elijah say, how dare you question me? I told you to do that. Oh, no. He answers every one of his questions because he knew the climate of the day. He knew this was his boss. And the Bible tells us, so Obadiah, verse 16, went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Everything worked together for good. That's what happens to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.